right, we are back. I thought that song would be so appropriate. That's from the original cast album of The Wiz. If you're just tuning in, I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out, and I am so excited for my next guest. Alan Mingo Jr. is joining us. He originated the role of The Wiz on the pre-Broadway tour. He brought it to Broadway, and he now returns on the national tour. And as I kicked off the show, I went to opening night last night at the Segerstrom. He was spectacular. He was captivating, so many other things. And anyway, he's joining us now. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
Thank you for calling in. You were spectacular last night.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. Before we dive into how you landed this role, could you share with me and listeners your journey as an actor? Because it's not an easy road. We talked about, you know, it's very nonlinear.
Very true. Now, you know, you went out to grad school here in Irvine, UC Irvine.
Come on. Really?
No lie.
Wow,
yeah,
Alan.
I didn't think I was going to be on Broadway. I thought I was going to be a classical actor doing Shakespeare.
Goodness.
Oh, yeah. Ibsen. Like, I didn't know that my path was going to lead to Broadway theater. And it was here at Irvine that a few of my classmates made me get into a car to drive to L.A. to audition for Rent.
I love Rent. Yeah.
But I had no idea. Again, I'm focusing on my studies. I'm going to be a classical actor. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So they were like, oh, this is a new show called Rent. It just opened on Broadway. They're about to audition for the national tour. And they're doing a call. They're doing a call in an open call in Los Angeles. So they said, get in the car and we'll play the CD on the ride down so I can hear it. And, you know, that show, the iconic, dun, 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 as they're tuning the guitar is how the show opens.
Yes.
I look at my classmates and I go, are you crazy? This sounds nothing like something I would do. Like, I can sing, but this sounds rockish. And what are you doing? You just hijacked me and you put me in a car. And,
and here
now
we go.
I'm forced to go. But thank God they did, because, you know, 10 auditions later, I wind up booking it and then have to go to school and say, hey, I'm in my third year of grad school, which is where you begin to find your agents and find jobs.
Sure.
And I booked the first national tour of Rent, which wind up being my Broadway debut a few months later.
I loved Rent. Wow.
It is now one of my favorites, but in the beginning, as I'm driving, it wasn't until they got to Colin singing I'll Cover You where I said to myself, oh, I see why you put me in this car and you're making me go. Now I get it.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I was like, why am I driving an hour with you and then an hour back? I have studies to do. I have, you know,
stuff to
lines
do.
To memorize.
Exactly.
What are you doing? But I thank them to this day because it put me on this sort of trajectory with Broadway that I really didn't see myself in.
But other people saw you. And that's a great lesson, Alan, because a lot of times people see things in us. We don't have the confidence. We don't see the vision. And they do.
Exactly. Yeah. I thank them to this day. So I'm glad to be in my second home here in Costa Mesa.
It's beautiful. And so I had shared with listeners and with you how I saw Stephanie. And then I heard, you know, that the show is coming here. And it's fantastic how it has this 2026 vibe, right? But it's still... it still shows, you know, the whole underlying theme of the show, you know, from 1975, but it amps it up. It completely amps it up.
Yeah, you know what? I was in two other versions that were going to go to Broadway, so somehow this show kept calling me.
Uh-huh.
It's only the one show that I have been in my professional career. I've done it many times. And, you know, once I've done it with the Jersey Boys team at La Jolla Playhouse, that was supposed to go to Broadway, and I believe the Wiz was David Alan Grier, and I was his sort of understudy that had guaranteed shows. And we just tried to just take out the slang. Keep everything up the same, but just take off the slang and try to update it.
Yeah.
And that was not successful.
Okay.
And then I did it in Sacramento. Now that I'm saying it's all of it in California.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did it in Sacramento with the Wiz live costumes that people saw on TV. And I was the Wiz, so I was doing the show in Queen Latifah's Swarovski crystal sort of cake that like weighed 50 pounds. It was gorgeous, but they wouldn't let me play with it. Okay. Like, as soon as I got off stage, they yanked it off me and locked it in a closet. And we thought that was going to go to Broadway.
Sure.
But what I think we did right was sort of we took the 70s funk underpinning out of the music.
Yes.
And put things like Prince or Michael Jackson or Beyonce. And we will put that underpinning under the music so that it was fresh to a new audience but didn't lose the heart.
Exactly.
And then they sort of refigured the script so that it was almost timeless, so it doesn't really have too many current references, so that schools and regional theaters can do this script today without having to do the work that,
exactly.
you know, that I've done previously in other shows that try to figure out how to get it back to New York.
Sure.
And so I really think the music we've knocked out of the park. I think, like you said, this is just sort of reamped, but we didn't lose the heart of what the story was talking about. And so even you repeating it to saying it to me sort of makes me proud to know that I made the right decision to come on the road to introduce this to a whole new audience, but also for those who loved the show, either via the original Broadway show or the movie.
Sure. And as we talked about, you know, when you take this on a national tour, people are not familiar with it. And I know, you know, Wicked has taken off, the first film, the second film, but this is very different. And it's such an important show, I feel, as someone who grew up in Manhattan going to theater, because I don't know, The Wiz really made a big impression on me. And I used to take dance classes, and I just loved the whole vibe in New York. And so for people to experience this, how would you describe The Wiz for someone who doesn't know anything about it?
You know, I would say it's still part of the Oz canon, which is amazing that it's one of the biggest American folklores.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people know when they, you know, see the Tin Man, Lion, and the Scarecrow, and a Dorothy, you know, some semblance of the sort of plaid dress or the gingham dress, that they have an idea of what that's about. So they lean forward, for those who don't know The Wiz, to see what our story's about. Now, it's influenced by sort of Black culture. But as you know, it has fans from all over the place. And so it's just our take and what it would be if we were in Oz.
Sure.
And again, like I said, we took out a lot of the old references, but wanted to keep the heart. But we also were mindful that people who were introduced via the movie and the Broadway show, that they could bring other young folks who have no idea what they're about to go see into it and gain a new audience. So I really do think we did that well. And I'm so excited to sort of do this tour so that 20 years from now, people will come and say, I saw Alan in The Wiz as The Wiz.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
It
was one of those projects where I like, this project has followed me. I need to see this through and go across the country and introduce it to the rest of the country.
Yeah. So what did opening night feel like at the very end? What was going through your head?
You know, it's magical. Like I said, this is kind of my second home.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't wait to get here. I had such fond memories of going to school here. And kind of when you asked me about my career, when I first landed at UCI, I just did not see myself doing this. So in a way, it was a full circle moment. Like, I am now, you know, been in the business for 30, 35 years.
Mm.
And who knew that my career would lead me in this direction, doing this show that means so much to me. I don't know, it's sort
beautiful.
Of otherworldly. It's just so weird to go, I couldn't imagine myself here, but yet here
it's
I am.
Beautiful. It really is. How did you shape this character of the Wiz? Like, how did you embody your character? Because you're so captivating with your eyes and your smile and your strut. You know, how did you come up with that?
Well, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. Mm-hmm. Because I've worked on The Wiz for so long, and it's been one of the shows that sort of always sort of entered my career, when I got cast, I auditioned with the original script. And so when I came to the first rehearsal, I knew all my lines. Until maybe about an hour into rehearsal,
okay,
someone said, "Alan, did you read the new script?" And I was horrified. What?
No.
I was like, "What did you do? Well, wait, we were doing a revival. What do you mean?" They're like, yeah. "Oh, no, we sort of revamped the script."
Oof.
So they said, "Okay, go home, read the script, and come back tomorrow." And I go, "Okay." I sat down, I read the script, and I had my first nervous breakdown in my professional career ever. I'm sort of a purist, because remember, I trained to be a classical actor.
Sure.
Revivals should be exactly what the originals were, just with new people, mm-hmm. in my mind.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And because the director is a friend of mine, we actually met when I joined Rent. She was my dance captain. She's now the director. So I called a mutual friend and I say, "How do I tell my friend, the director, that she truly messed up with this show that's about to go to Broadway?" And my friend said, "If you were the director, you would want to know." And
yeah.
I go, "You're right."
That's right.
So the second day of rehearsal, I had that hard conversation, and I said, "Shelley, what the heck did you do?" And she said, "We're doing it for a new audience. We're blending both the movie and the Broadway show kind of together, because we have a lot of audiences that from both sides." But then she said, I'm having this rewritten for my teenage daughters. I need them to know that sometimes adults lie to them."
Wow.
And when you find out that they lie, they just walk away. And for The Wiz, I don't want him to have any redeeming qualities. And I go, "Well, you can't tell an actor that. Like, what are you talking about?" She goes, "Yes, but the thing is, that's real life, Alan. I want, when The Wiz is discovered that he is a phony and a fraud, that he just says, 'I'm sorry, peace, I'm leaving.
Peace
I'm out.'"
Yeah.
And I go, "Oh, God, so now I have to do some real work. Like, I have
real
to,
work.
I have to real work. I have to figure this out." And so it was about being like, you want to love to hate him and hate to love him.
Yes.
He has to be charming, yet when he's discovered, he has no guilt. He just says, "Hey, look, I was stuck here too, but I'm leaving you guys."
Yeah.
You got it. Because she wanted kids or teenagers to understand sometimes when you find your tribe, or when an adult promises you something and they don't have the goods, or you're full out lies, don't expect them to clean up the mess. You know,
it's
in
true.
The original, from The Wizard of Oz and even The Wiz, you know, he would give the Scarecrow the diploma and say, "You have what you always, you know, you always had what you needed." He would give sort of the Tin Man a necklace with a heart and goes, "You've always had heart."
Sure.
And she goes, "I want them to discover that for themselves." Because after all, isn't that the theme?
Yes.
Don't always listen to what people say.
Yes.
And you pretty much have what you need inside. And I said, "Okay, that I can't argue with that. But oh my God, now I have to go do some work." And so for me, it was trying to find this sort of quirkiness that made him captivating and something strange about him, but still lovable.
Well, you certainly did that. I mean, what is that saying? You're everything you need already. You don't have to go seek, you know. And it's a great message. And we have to think, you know, outside the box. And so what a growing experience for you as an actor to have to do that.
Of course, especially when I'm feeling I'm the most secure in my career.
Mm-hmm.
I know these lines. I know what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, "No, you don't. Now make a 360 and now go home and do some work." So for me, I feel like my Wiz is more like Samuel Jackson meets Willy Wonka. You know what I mean? Like, you want to know, what were you doing before we all saw you?
Yeah.
I want you to be questioning, is he a little off? I like him, but there's something strange about his behavior.
Yes. What was that character by Jim Carrey? He was wearing green, or... He was,
you're right. Oh my God.
You also
right.
reminded me of him. Grinch. Was it like a Grinch character? No, well, maybe it wasn't Grinch. But anyway, there was a movie with Jim Carrey where he, I don't know. You're kind
yeah,
of
had
like,
a top hat.
Yeah.
I mean, not a top hat. He had a hat on. I know what you're saying. I just
yes.
can't remember.
It's going to come to me. Yeah, so it was just outstanding. And so I want to also ask you, because my show is called Get the Funk Out.
I love the title.
Thank you. What do you do as an artist when you go through these moments where you question yourself, you're doubting yourself? Because this will be inspiring for people, young people that are in theater.
You know, one thing, while it was sort of devastating that we weren't doing a classic, mm-hmm. the great thing about working in this business so long, you have many different tools in your tool belt.
Yeah.
And especially where especially for those who actually want to do this as a career or anything in their career. And I know this is going to sound cliche. Education gave me the confidence to know that when I'm thrown a curveball, there's something else I can pull out of my tool belt.
Definitely.
To get me to my goal. And again, I know that sounds cliche, go to school, get your education. But for me, I was ready to enter the professional world and was working in the professional world before I went to go to get my master's.
Mm-hmm.
But I chose to do that just because I wanted to delve deeper into my craft. And so then when I started hitting the streets of New York after Rent, I mean, my career would go, I would go from show to show to show. I would leave shows
Amazing.
To go into another Broadway show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they were all different.
Yes.
Now, the funny thing is, by the time I sort of like 10 to 15 years in, I realized, Alan, you're a classical actor and you've played three iconic animals on Broadway. You couldn't write this. I mean, I go to Red, which is great, and then I go Simba and Lion King, and then it goes into Donkey and Shrek,
mm-hmm.
and then Sebastian and Little Mermaid. And it's like, what? Who would have known that this is
exactly.
what I'm doing? Now,
yeah.
all take different skill sets, but the thing is, I knew I had those tools
That's
just right on my side.
Yes.
And so, again, as I'm approaching something different or we get thrown a curveball, I just know that there's another way out, there's another way through, or another way over.
Yeah. Well, you had a very strong foundation, but you were willing to say yes to things that were very different, possibly uncomfortable. But look how they layered you as an actor, and now who knows what the future holds, because
you're
doing more than you ever imagined, you know. Fantastic.
Exactly. And so therefore, people will say, well, what's your next role that you've really been dying to do? You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I love what I do when I wake up and go to work. There's nothing especially as an actor, because our jobs are so, we get disappointed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I find my work tends to pick itself out for me.
That's great.
And so I never really have the disappointed. I go in with all my, you know, into an audition,
yes.
with all that I know to sort of book it. But when I don't, that wasn't for me. Not that I don't reassess and do a postmortem to go, what can I learn from this experience and how can I have been better?
Yes.
But I don't hang on, oh my God, I always wanted to do Othello and I'm not doing it.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
When it is right for me, it comes to
The reason I know this, I studied voice acting, and there's so many times where I thought, I nailed that. And then, of course, you don't. And then the ones that you think you were horrible, they call you.
Yes, always. So that's why, for me, I don't allow myself to get, not disappointed, because that's the wrong thing, I get disappointed all the time.
Yeah.
I do it within reason.
That's good.
I also realize sometimes I think I bombed it, I get it. Or sometimes I think I nailed it, didn't get it. But then 2 years later, they're calling me, can you go to another country and do it?
Wow.
Can you go here and do it?
Yes.
We just pulled your number. Can you come and do it now?
Yes.
And sometimes it's better than you imagine.
Sure. Well, I would imagine in those moments, too, in the times when you don't book that audition, you think, I should have done this. So at the next audition, you bring that. You bring that amped up version that you thought you should have done, and you give everything as opposed to holding
back.
Yeah.
Yes. And then sometimes it's the opposite. You change what you've done, and they go, why aren't you doing what you did 2 years ago? We only didn't use you because we had something in the way. It wasn't yours yet.
Wasn't you?
You know, for Kinky Boots.
Right.
When I saw that show, I knew I had to do that show. Again, I was trying not to go, there's something I'm dying to do, but I knew I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's now showing a different aspect of my career. And as an African-American, we don't really get to show both the funny side and the heartfelt side. And then not to mention, I'm doing it in 6-inch heels. So when they auditioned to replace Billy Porter mm-hmm. on Broadway, they eventually, after auditioning me, they said, I'm sorry, we're going to go with someone else. For the first national tour, they said, I'm sorry, we're going to go somewhere else. Now, mind you, it was a temporary replacement for Billy Porter. He was still going to be in the show.
But still.
And then all of a sudden, a year and some change later, they said, hey, come back in.
Yes.
I start doing the things I thought I missed. And they're like, no. Do what we saw because we loved you.
Oh.
Just because we didn't call you, we loved you. That's why you're in the room. Please revert back to what you were doing.
Very true.
I did. They gave me the Canadian production and then said, oh my, before I opened, they said, oh, Billy Porter's now leaving Broadway. Before you open, you will be replacing him on Broadway.
What?
So that's
Ellen.
A sort of blessing in disguise.
Yes.
I'm just still in rehearsal. They're like, oh my God, you're so good. Just so you know, we're going to, once the show opens, you're going to go right to New York. So in a way, I got there faster than the way I thought.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
It does.
It was so weird.
It does. But I will say this, too. Sometimes don't you feel that time that has transpired, that year, made you a stronger actor and more ready for that?
Oh, yes.
Right?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. So we have to wrap up, but where can people find out more about you? I know they can see you at the Segerstrom through the 25th as The Wiz.
Yes.
So I did put a link on my show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. Where can they find out more about you? I think you're on Instagram.
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I am, yes, you could always, I always sort of post, especially on Instagram, what I'm doing, what's next. And hopefully you'll see, I have a couple of shows on HBO, so they can check that out.
Okay.
But, and I'm hoping to do a spinoff of one of the shows that I have with HBO Max, but we'll see. Fingers crossed.
Fantastic. I want to mention your Instagram. It's Alan Mingo, M-I-N-G-O, and J at the end.
J-R.
Oh, J-R.
So it's Alan Mingo Jr. Yeah, so Alan Mingo J-R.
Perfect.
On Instagram.
Instagram. Yeah. Okay. Alan, I have loved my time with you. Thank you so much, and congratulations on everything.
Thank you so much. And again, thank you for coming to the show.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. All right. Be well. I'm hoping to catch it again, actually. I might take my dog.
Okay.
All right.
I love that. I love it.
All right. Thank you again. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That was Alan Mingo Jr., who plays The Wiz, which, again, is running through the 25th. That's a wrap for me. If you missed any part of my conversation, it'll be up as a podcast within an hour, and we are wrapping up. And SoCal New Waver is standing by with a fantastic show, Pass Forward, and I'll be back next week. I'm Janine. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. If you don't follow our socials, we're at KUCI FM. You can also visit our website at KUCI.org. And again, my show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. I am accepting pitches for new guests for the beginning of the year. I'm already filling up some of the schedule. So all you have to do is send an email to Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E, at KUCI.org. That's J-A-N-E-A-N-E at KUCI. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.